This is side two of the tape, August 31st, May Brussel in Carmel, California. Continuing on our discussion of Ronald Reagan as governor of California, so you know what to anticipate when he becomes, or if he becomes, president of the United States. One of the most important ways of controlling political opponents or getting rid of obstacles if you want to control the world or have power in the world is through the use of medicine and drugs and chemicals, weapons and silencers and hand grenades and tanks and rockets and missiles and satellites aren't the only way to control people, and a very necessary ingredient through this world of criminal spy activity and torture, the instrumentation of the use of instruments, blunt objects to kill people and so forth. There is another way to handle people, and that's to control their minds. And there are many ways to control their minds. But in California, Ronald Reagan was very much part of the Central Intelligence Agency Pentagon Defense Department plans for mass experimentation on minds in California. He wasn't a silent partner. There have been many books on the MK Ultra program and the mind control program and the intent planned in Washington in mind control for the people in the United States and medical experimentation that was distributed among the prisons and hospitals around the country. But a bulk of the research, some of the most insidious and the most dangerous, came out of California again from Stanford Research, their mind control department, and also UCLA, where Jolly West, the psychiatrist who had testified at Jack Ruby's trial, was linked to the Kennedy assassination, the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination, came out from Oklahoma then to head the institute at UCLA that was to begin to continue. They had been doing some experimentations up to that time, but they would incorporate the federal government into an organization, an institution that Ronald Reagan launched. And from the congressional hearings, the Senate hearings, on the Subcommittee on Constitutional Rights, this is Individual Rights and Federal Role in Behavior Modification, published in November of 1974, that's just about at the end of Reagan's administration. I want to read just a few pages that I have had through the years on the radio tapes before, but many of you are not familiar with these and the role of Ronald Reagan. In these hearings that Sam Ervin conducted, I'm quoting from these hearings, they said, in his January 1973 State of the State message, Governor Reagan announced the formation of the Center for the Reduction of Life-Threatening Behavior. Several proposals were drafted, and they named the center for the study of they called it the Center for the Study of Violent Behavior. The project was to begin at UCLA, the University of California, directed by Dr. Stubblebine, and also considered by the Senate Health and Welfare Committee in California, the criminal department, the health and welfare, Dr. Stubblebine and the federal government were involved. They said that violence is a major concern in our society. This was in 1973. We had seen the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers. We don't have to run them all down. But violence, they said, was a concern in our society. In 1968, the California officials had secretly amalgamized, I can't pronounce this properly, they had done lobotomies on three prisoners, paying scant regard to the legal and ethical issues. This is testimony before the Senate hearings opposing the UCLA school. They did lobotomies on them. Their symptoms returned. One man was suffering. He had additional loss of memory. There were other effects of brain destruction. They did mind-crippling psychosurgery that had been established in 1971. This was in the middle of Reagan's administration. Secret documents came to the attention of the Department of Corrections and the University of California that they had been doing. These documents were released from these organizations from various persons who found out that they were doing lobotomies and psychosurgery in the institutions long before the proposed center took place. They were using chemical castration, psychosurgery, testing experimental drugs on involuntarily incarcerated individuals, and there was no limit to their activity. There was a plea before Sam Urban's committee that said in an age of rapidly advancing technology, when new methods of scientific control of mind and behavior are a reality and a cry for law and order at any cost, we have to preserve human dignity and principles of liberty and freedom. And they brought up the subject that the possibility of political manipulation could take place in these mind control programs that they were using. They went on with discussions of doctors Vernon Mark, William Sweet, and Frank Urban, who after the Detroit riots in Massachusetts were opening brains and doing brain operations that were not successful, and asked, why did Urban come from Massachusetts to UCLA from Boston? What was he doing in California? And they questioned the $1 million that was given to the UCLA by Health Welfare Administration, the LEAA, federal funding, and so forth. There was a plea to stop the psychosurgery, and they referred to a Santa Monica psychosurgeon who offered to do brain operations on prisoners, Dr. Ralph Schwitz, S-C-H-W-I-T-Z-G-E-B-E-L, Schwitz, Witzgebel, I can't pronounce it, but I'll print it on the sheets if you want it. A colleague of Dr. Sweet and Dr. Schwitz, Bagel, he has a brother at Claremont, California, and they did books along with Dr. Delgado on electronic control of the mind and behavior, suggested brain implants, radio implants to monitor emotions and behavior and to control human behavior. These people were working with UCLA, with the CIA, and the federal government, and there was a plea to stop the castrations, the surgical implants, the alteration of the brains. And in summary, they said this is a laboratory of the Department of Corrections, the UCLA, and it is a dangerous place for mind-destroying intervention in the brain. And they asked that these things be stopped. Because of Watergate and the exposés of the government in mind control, the UCLA Center, at least on the surface, was stopped. And I believed that in 1973, when that was stopped, that was the year that a group of people, 11 people and Jim Jones, went down to Jonestown with money from the Barclay Bank and Tim Stone from Stanford Law School. And there were people from Stanford Research behind the Jones operation, lawyers and doctors, supplying drugs and mind control experimental drugs that were later identified as CIA-type drugs. And then the mind control experiments could begin down in Jonestown. Dr. Peter Bragan, he lives in Washington, wrote an article in 1979 on the psychiatric Holocaust, and one of my favorite listeners, subscribers to the tape, sent me this article. It was in Penthouse this last January. Dr. Peter Bragan is, again, one of the most important patriots in this fight for individual freedom. In my list of bibliography, I have a list of books or important articles to read on how these repressions came down historically, and I have Peter Bragan's name here and address, the Center for the Study of Psychiatry. And he goes to the fact that his article and his research goes into the information that it was the psychiatrists that were responsible for mass sterilization and mass murders in Germany, that Hitler hadn't even conceived of extermination or death camps until the psychiatrists began to do the experimentation and the killing. And they systematically took people in the psychiatric hospitals for experiments and for testing and used them as guinea pigs and murdered them. And it was so successful that Adolf Hitler could take the advice of the psychiatrist and apply it to the murdering of other people in the concentration camps, going into the many millions. And Peter Bragan compares Germany's Sterilization Act to California, where they systematically sterilized 15,000 psychiatric inmates, and it became the world's chief experimental area for eugenics. See, California is where the sperm banks are down in San Diego. California is where the cloning is going on and the DNA experiments. There are other hospitals in the East doing these things, but California is the hub of these activities. And when you read what is coming out of California and what is going on here, you realize that men like Ronald Reagan, as when he's the governor or the president, not only can look aside, but be very much a part of those activities and pretend they're not happening. What a PR job that is to pretend these things are not happening. An interesting aspect of Ronald Reagan's career is a man from Hoover Institute, Richard Allen, who is working with him as his chief foreign advisor, another California character from the Hoover Institute. At the time of the Watergate scandals in 1976, a man from Grumman International, the aircraft factory, said that Allen wanted a $1 million bribe contribution in 1971 for Nixon's reelection, and in exchange, Grumman would get aircraft sold to Japan. That Allen said, we can interest the White House to sell aircraft to Japan. You know how Jimmy Carter was twisting the wrist of the Japanese officials to buy more weapons and arm against China. And the truth is that then they get contracts for their favorite people who have put them in office and given them money for their campaigns. This same Allen is suggested to be head of Ronald Reagan's National Security Council if Reagan is president. Allen was on a salary from the notorious Robert Vesco in 1972 as a consultant to Robert Vesco, and he was part of a White House team that covered up the ITT case along with William Casey of Ronald Reagan's inner team right now. Allen was called by Haldeman to stop the Pentagon paper leaks and head the Plumbers Group, which he turned down, but he went on to other activities with, as I say, under the pay of Robert Vesco during the Watergate calamities. He originally claimed he had a degree, a PhD from Munich, Germany. He was a fraud. He didn't have a PhD at all, and when they found out that he lied about his credentials, he said that he wrote a thesis, but it was dropped, and he thought that the Marxists were responsible. He's a man who is against reforms of the intelligence agencies, and as I say, he is suggested to be head of the National Security Council in case Ronald Reagan becomes president. At the time of Watergate, the Watergate arrest took place in June of 1972, and 1 month later, Robert Vesco was in Italy with the top mafia bosses dividing up the world narcotics traffic. 1 month after the arrest at Watergate of Richard Nixon and that team, there's a book called Vesco, The Infernal Money-Making Machine, and it goes into the relationship of Robert Vesco with Richard Nixon's brother, Edward, and going to Las Vegas, where they had inroads with the gambling market, and the Howard Hughes people. Hughes was behind the loans to Richard Nixon's brother, and the Hughes links to narcotics traffic, the mob, were always fairly well known, and Vesco was traveling around with Richard Nixon's brother after returning from Rome after the Watergate affair. Incidentally, Vesco was not only paying Mr. Richard Allen a salary at the time of Watergate, but at the time, shortly after the Watergate arrest, Mitchell Werbel, the famous man from Georgia who supplies the silencers and weapons and the training teams for military coups and so forth, had been apprehended on an arms deal. His company, Defense Services Company, and a man named Stuart Graydon that worked for Robert Vesco and Mitchell Werbel, these men were under indictment. And the lawyer for Defense Services Company was William Olenhausen, the partner of Bernard Fensterwald. Fensterwald allegedly was trying to find out who killed John Kennedy. He was a CIA plant who represented James McCord at the same time of the Watergate arrest. Bernard Fensterwald was representing McCord, and his partner was representing Mitchell Werbel and associates of Vesco, Robert Vesco. And Vesco was paying money to Richard Allen, who's now the chief foreign advisor for Ronald Reagan. So if you worry about Billy Carter and Jimmy Carter and the Vesco connections, I mentioned several weeks ago the Reagan-Vesco connections with Richard Allen and Mitchell Werbel, and the assassination teams goes deep into the Hughes organization and the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, with the silencers from Georgia and the training teams and the anti-Castro Cubans and the organized crime that were out to get the Kennedy brothers, because Robert Kennedy, as Attorney General, was investigating these creeps. And with the two Kennedys gone, Ted Kennedy remained silent. And Vesco still floats around wheeling and dealing with gun merchants and weapon sales and the international market, his market is death and weapons and assassination teams, and no one can touch him because he plays both sides and floats around. But he's more linked to the Reagan administration and to what would be the National Security Advisor than he's even linked to Billy Carter or Jimmy Carter. Now, I mentioned last week about Ronald Reagan and education. In 1966, when Pat Brown was governor, when he was defeated by Ronald Reagan, state and California, the college enrollment had doubled. This is a fact. And according to a book on California education, no qualified applicant had ever been turned away. The campus was exploding. There was a master plan for higher education, and it was the goal of the head of the University of California, Clark Kerr, to keep everyone who was capable of having a college education in college, that it would not cost money for them to get this education. The state of California would give it to them, and we would have an educated society. Mr. Kerr was the head of the University of California for 22 years, and as soon as Ronald Reagan became governor, Kerr was fired that day out. January 67, no notice. Kerr, who was the major force behind the University of California Master Plan for Education, was working hard for higher education for the masses, was removed immediately after the elections in January 1967. Reagan took office January the 2nd, and immediately that week, Kerr was out, and along supporting his firing was Mr. Haldeman and Alan Grant, the president of the Board of Agriculture, members of the Board of Regents who opposed Kerr. It was a tragic day for the people in California who could not afford education and are suffering today because their families will never get that kind of education. Now, when Ronald Reagan was running for governor of California, he was campaigning to break the University of California, but not only was he doing that, but Claude Kirk in Florida, thousands of miles away from California, ran a campaign to break the University of California. Kirk was the first Republican in 94 years to win an election in Florida in 1966. The same year that Claude Kirk went as governor in Florida, Ronald Reagan was governor in California, and Kirk was about to marry a German woman from Brazil and take on a new marriage, just as Reagan had changed wives from Jane and took on Nancy. Kirk had changed wives and was marrying a German woman from Brazil. In 1966, they ran their election on breaking the University of California, and by January the 13th, Kirk and Reagan had lunch in California. In 1967, this was, and it was that next day that Kerr was fired, no pay, no notice, and so forth. So that an important part of the fascism that Reinhard Gehlen wanted in Germany, that Hitler wanted, that the controllers want is as few of the middle class as necessary. Some people experts in certain trades, but a handful of wealthy and a lot of slave labor and the educated middle class are expendable. That sounds pretty gross, but that has been their goal. And if you read books and statistics on why Johnny can't read and why they can't get an education, if you don't think there was a conspiracy behind it, get out your articles or newspapers, and I'll give you a bibliography of Clark Kerr and the campaign promises of Claude Kirk in Florida and Ronald Reagan, and where they met and when, and how Kerr was fired and what it did to the state of California. But Claude Kirk didn't just ruin, along with Ronald Reagan, California. As soon as he became governor, he had his own police force. He hired Mr. Wackenhut, and there was an article in the Los Angeles Times, February 1967, the next month, concern mounts over secret police force, the Florida governor's so-called war on crime. He admitted it wasn't to get organized crime in Florida, it was to get labor leaders, organized labor, that the Wackenhut Corporation was hired by Kirk in Florida. The Los Angeles Times said Governor Reagan, who discussed the crime problem of labor with Kirk, had no plans himself to hire a private police force in California, but he would set up an anti-crime bill with a state legislature later. Claude Kirk, the same man that put Reagan into power, the same bill that put him into power, put Reagan into power, and they have a common bond between Florida and California, Kirk hired George Wackenhut, an ex-FBI agent, a self-made millionaire with a private force, extensive operations in California. Wackenhut was a right-winger, vehemently opposed to organized labor. He has expressed the opinion that the country would be better off if all union organizers and a godly number of union members would drop dead. This is an ex-FBI member, and he had people beaten by union people, beaten by the skull, and he gave orders that you can break your clubs over some skulls, end quote. He was violently anti-union. He had fears of socialism. He referred to the United States as rapidly getting socialist, and gave orders that violence was okay with his people. He has a board of directors, a mile long, of members of the Birch Society, people from California, from the East, retired military on the board of directors. The Wackenhut Corporation now guards the airports. I believe that the early and middle and late hijackings were an excuse to get control so that no matter who wants to escape this country or leave at a time of turmoil, can be stopped by a Wackenhut guard. When you go through the gates, when you check in your luggage, it is the Wackenhut people who check you out. They are hired at the airports, and we don't have civilian guards at the military bases, of course, and they're not regular Army people taking turns doing guard duty out here at Fort Ord. At least it used to be that way. Wackenhut Corporation guards the military bases. Who goes in? Who goes out? Who leaves the airports, who comes in. So the avenues of communication of coming and going are limited, and the Wackenhut Corporation had its tentacles across this nation, particularly from Florida to California. In this article in the New York Times describing Wackenhut right after their inauguration, it said in 12 years he built the firm from $89,000 a year operation to a $23 million firm. This was in 1967. 5,000 employees, 28 offices in the United States, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, and Colombia. And their largest customers are the Atomic Energy Commission, Lockheed Aircraft, Mack Trucks, NASA, National Airlines, Republic Aviation, Fairchild, Shell Oil, Tidewater Oil, TWA, Westinghouse Electric Corporation, Astro Nuclear Laboratories. In the cloak and dagger business, Wackenhut bragged that his investigators were able to get out Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. from New York. That was a black man in Congress long before many of you remember, who was singled out, not doing any crime different than what the white hierarchy were doing in Congress, but he was a freak, a phenomena, a black man in Congress, and they fixed him up with some women and got him off on, I forget even the details myself, I have files on this poor man, this Adam Clayton Powell, the representative from New York, but Wackenhut prided himself in being able to extricate him from Congress. This is a man violently against labor, closely linked to Ronald Reagan, working for Claude Kirk, the Wackenhut Corporation. They have put their roots into various cities across the United States. Wackenhut, of course, how could it be otherwise, was a native of Philadelphia, and I've done many hours and radio tapes on the Philadelphia connections to the assassinations. Samuel Cummings, the arms merchant in London from Philadelphia, the Grace Kelly Monte Carlo connections to Onassis, and the monarchy in waiting that centered around Monte Carlo and France and England for so long, waiting to be restored to their thrones when the Russian Revolution is erased and there is no more Soviet Union. The Wackenhut people, his home roots are in Philadelphia, so is George de Morenschild, and a long list of people involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. Wackenhut was successful to incorporate his organization with Claude Kirk, and Claude Kirk linked to Ronald Reagan, and this detective firm is so suspect that many articles have been written questioning even the danger of these private police forces. Fred Cook wrote an article in Nation magazine back in 1967, Governor Kirk's Private Eyes, and talked about the guards and the Wackenhut Corporation. And of course, it's important to go back again to the mutual campaign that they were running, Ronald Reagan and Wackenhut and Claude Kirk in Florida, to break the University of California and the education that we needed here. Well, California was filled with with violence as well. Reagan was president. And the ones I list for you are areas that I have researched. I have many files on them. We lived through them out here in California. He was elected November the 8th, 1966. He was inaugurated January the 2nd in 67. As I say, he fired the president of the university in Berkeley after 22 years there, and Operation Chaos was going full swing. This was the place of the Manson family. Charles Watson was brought out from Texas. He was working with people linked to the Howard Hughes organization. The Spahn Ranch that was used by Manson was where Howard Hughes filmed The Outlaw. It bordered the Krupp property, the German multinationals, this ranch. And this neo-Nazi group of bikers was used. They employed as a front man a guitar-playing man, somewhat of a musical genius with bad breaks and heavily controlled by LSD and drugs to simulate a combination of a hippie and a Rasputin and to scare the parents whose children had left the great flower power scene and bring down violence. There were links of Manson to Sheriff Peter Pitches, the LAPD, and the Goon Squad, the Operation Chaos that was taking place, and of course the LaBianca murders that happened the next night. There were the massive Santa Cruz violences that were linked to this chain of narcotics, counterintelligence of Evel Younger, Ed Davis, criminal conspiracy section, those men of Edmund Kemper, Herbert Mullen, and John Frazier, and the mass murders, again, left allegedly as hippies reading tarot cards, etc. They were not that type. Several of them were taken to Honolulu to army bases in the company of older women and were under mind control. There was the terrible San Quentin shootout where George Jackson was murdered, and Lewis Tackwood from the LAPD claimed that the weapon that killed George Jackson was brought in from the LAPD, that it was purposely done to get rid of this black leader of the Black Panthers, the political movement. There was the killings, the Soledad trial, the killing of the guards out in Soledad, California, the creation of the SLA by the Central Intelligence Agency with Colston Westbrook and agents from Indiana that came to California. I only have 2 minutes and 34 instances of violence and that came down when Reagan was governor here. The breaking up of anti-war demonstrations with agent provocateurs, the Isla Vista riots. In the summer of 1967, when Reagan had been governor 1 year in this country, there were 16,000 arrests across the country for riots and only 2,000 convictions. And that wasn't because the government was generous. It was because so many of them came forward and admitted they were federal agents and agent provocateurs that instigated the riots. 75 people, there were 75 riots in 67, 83 people killed, 16,000 arrested, and only 2,000 convictions. And the provocateurs surfaced and told about their part in creating this violence. California was ripe with violence. I didn't do enough on Ronald Reagan. Maybe next week I'll do just one more hour on Ronald Reagan to sum up his experiences as governor and his links to some of these assassination teams and not leave these ends dangling, or do an update for you on the news and a little more on Reagan, because this passive Mr. Good Guy is just too sickening. As I say, I know personally people that live through traumas and pain and murder in this state and counterintelligence, and we still don't know where those files are. We know where they went, but we know they weren't destroyed. I will do more on Ronald Reagan for you. The East Coast was so concerned with Nelson Rockefeller and the power of the Rockefellers that it was very hard to convince them of what was going on in California. But I think the sum total of how California will affect the nation and has affected the nation will begin to be added up soon. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. I'll be back with you next week, part 3 of Ronald Reagan. You take care, and we'll get together at that time.